is planning to rebuild Iraq's national wireless network with a standard developed by a consortium of European companies, a move that has angered a California congressman who supports an American alternative. Representative Daryl Issa, Republican of California, introduced legislation last week that would effectively force the U.S. Agency for International Development to award a contract for the work to a U.S. company using the CDMA, Code Division Multiple Access Standard, developed by San Diego-based Qualcomm Incorporated. The project comes as the telecommunications industry has been hobbled by a sharp downturn in business. Qualcomm is locked in a country-by-country battle with telecommunications carriers that use a European wireless standard known as Global System for Mobile Communications, GSM for short. ISSA's bill also calls on the aid agency to give preference to U.S. companies in allocating other contracts awarded for the reconstruction of Iraq. Because Iraq's existing network already uses GSM technology, and because most other countries in the Middle East do so too, the agency is likely to award the contract to a GSM-oriented company, the source said. If the contract does specify a GSM network, Illinois-based Motorola Incorporated is likely to be the front runner for the project. Motorola is the only major US-based company that manufactures GSM equipment. It is extremely unlikely that the contract will not go to Motorola, said one source familiar with the process. ISSA dismissed the GSM standard last week as a qualified contender for the contract because it was developed by a consortium of European countries. ISSA estimated the value of the contract to be $1 billion and royalties from the standard to be as much as $100 million. While GSM now has broader distribution, CDMA is popular in the United States and Asia, in part because it uses airwaves more efficiently and is better able to transfer data. Consumers around the world are increasingly using their wireless phones to send and receive data. ISSA said he was concerned that the U.S. government would effectively give its seal of approval to GSM at a time when the two standards are competing around the world. Qualcomm donated $5,500 to ISSA's campaign during the last election cycle, making the company one of his top contributors, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. The agency is planning to put the contract out for bid next month. ISSA promised opposition. This fight isn't over until someone says so on the House floor. The U.S. House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly on Thursday to ban pornographic internet sites with misleading addresses and computer-generated child pornography. During a debate over the bill to create a notification network for child kidnapping cases, House members added two technology-related amendments to the legislation. The first measure, which was approved by voice vote, says anyone who knowingly uses an innocent-sounding domain name to drive traffic to a sex site could be fined and imprisoned for 2 to 4 years. The second amendment, which the House agreed to by a vote of 406-15, represents Congress's second attempt to outlaw virtual child pornography. Last year, the U.S. Supreme Court slapped down Congress's first law banning nude images of computer-generated minors and underage teens, saying the 1996 measure violated the First Amendment's guarantee of freedom of expression. After amending the bill called the Child Abduction Prevention Act, CAPA, the House then approved it by a vote of 410-14. And if you've always taken some comfort from the fact that banner ads tend not to be accessible to screen readers, text ads are going to become a lot more common in future. Google has partnered with two online advertisers' networks to display pay-for-performance text ads across sites affiliated with the networks, a move aimed at rapidly expanding the search giant's marketing business. In the last month, Google's AdWords or text link ads have started appearing on sites belonging to web publishers that are members of major ad networks, including FastClick and Burst Media, which combined represent sales of ad space on nearly 24,000 sites. Google said it started syndicating ads to FastClick and Burst, among others, as part of a test of its newly minted service to place text ads on pages selected for their relevance to a marketer's products or services. By tapping ad sales networks with ties to thousands of publishers at once, Google accelerates its efforts to align with publishers for contextually relevant advertising. The deals also mark new territory for the online ad networks, which went out of fashion after the dot-com bust when net marketing budgets dried up and questions about web advertising's effectiveness haunted the industry. As search marketing heats up, ad networks are quickly joining the fray. In the last year, search engine marketing has emerged as a bright spot in the online advertising market, serving to revitalize the industry and the companies that leverage such marketing, including web giant Yahoo. Because of its effectiveness for advertisers, web publishers, and surfers, search marketing has become one of the most competitive and evolving areas in the industry, sparking a slew of acquisitions. In the last month, for example, Overture Services bought technology and assets of AltaVista and Fast Search and Transfer to compete head-to-head with Google in web search, as well as in pay-for-performance search advertising, a market it pioneered. Aiming to swiftly extend their ad networks, Overture and Google have both announced programs to place cost-per-performance listings on content-targeted web pages beyond search-related pages. But Google so far is ahead of the game, having signed deals with Knight Rider Digital, the San Jose Mercury News, and HowStuffWorks.com to begin the service. The formula takes a page from search-related advertising in which marketers bid for placement next to or within query results related to specific keywords. Advertisers pay only when visitors click on the links. For Google advertisers, the sponsors' results appear not only on Google.com but with the company's partner sites, including America Online and Earthlink, if the advertisers so choose. Advertisers now have the option to appear on web pages unrelated to search. To provide this offering, Google uses its core search technology to understand the meaning of a web page and to serve a relevant marketing message to that page. For example, it could display an ad for transmission parts on an automotive page at HowStuffWorks.com. The downside of this is that the ads could be competitive to the publisher's own offerings. The upside is that the links could book ad revenue to the publisher. The telemarketing industry has suffered an early setback in its attempt to derail the national Do Not Call list that could allow consumers to block many unwanted sales calls in the United States. A federal judge in Oklahoma said late last Wednesday that telemarketers must comply with new regulations drafted by the Federal Trade Commission, even though they are suing to stop the rules, because they were not likely to win their case. The court finds the plaintiffs have failed to show a substantial likelihood that they will prevail in their lawsuit, U.S. District Judge Lee West said in a written opinion. Prompted by a wave of consumer complaints, the FTC announced last year that it would set up a list of households that do not want to receive telephone calls. Telemarketers who call numbers on the list after October could face fines of up to $11,000 per count. Several telemarketing firms and an industry trade group have sued to stop the program, arguing it violates freedom of speech rights in a federal circuit court that has issued several industry-friendly decisions in the past. The telemarketers had asked West to suspend new rules that require them to reduce the number of hang-up calls and get explicit permission before putting charges on credit card accounts. West said that while the new regulations might hurt the industry, they would help the public as a whole. The English language has a tight grip on top-level internet domain names, but that appears likely to end soon, as ICANN is set to approve new technical standards, paving the way for names and languages such as Chinese and others that use different symbols. Officials of the Internet Corporation of Assigned Names and Numbers are meeting in Rio de Janeiro this week, and Chairman Vince G. Cerf was quoted as saying the group would likely approve new technical standards. ICANN also has a new president, Australian Paul Toomey, who told reporters last week that his selection as the first non-American to head the organisation in charge of the Internet's global addressing system represents another step in the group's internationalisation. Although individual web pages can be served in many languages, the main computers that handle online addresses for the net currently understand only the 26 English letters, 10 numerals, and a hyphen, along with a full stop for splitting addresses into sections. The Internet Engineering Task Force has been working on how to get computers to convert non-English characters smoothly and easily. The problem has been to get non-ASCII characters translated into unique ASCII characters or strings that can be resolved by the existing domain name system. Soon, you may no longer have to shout to make yourself heard when you make a call on your mobile phone in a crowded area. Electronics giant Philips have found a way to dampen the background noise that often intrudes on phone calls made on the move. Extracting the ambient noise makes it more easy for both people involved with the phone call to hear what is said. The technology will first be used in phones that use headsets because it requires two microphones, and will find its way into individual handsets within a couple of years. Philips has developed a series of software routines or algorithms that analyze the sounds entering the microphone of a handset. The system needs input from two separate microphones, such as one on the body of a handset and one on an associated headset. Philips said the algorithms compared the input from the two sound sources and worked out what was talk and what was background noise. The technology is similar to that found in modern digital hearing aids. Japanese mobile phone service provider and handset maker NTT Docomo have announced that it has begun selling the first wristwatch cell phone. It's called the Wristomo. While other companies such as Motorola and Siemens have displayed prototypes of such devices, the Wristomo is likely to be the world's first wristwatch phone sold commercially. It is made for the PHS, or Personal Handy Phone System Communication Standard, which is unique to Japan, so foreign buyers won't be able to find the phone very useful. The company is accepting orders for the gadget now at their website, but didn't say when the device will actually ship. Watchmaker Seiko Instruments collaborated with NTT Docomo to create the device. Five Japanese TV manufacturers will form a working group to hammer out technical specifications by October of this year for digital TVs with internet access. Hitachi, Mitsushita, Sharp, Sony, and Toshiba are leading the efforts to define the connection between digital TVs and the internet. They'll launch the working group on the 14th of April to prepare a common platform for digital TV sets, net access. Though internet TVs have failed in the past, the five companies said they intend to position the digital TV set as a home information center. Matsushita and Sony agreed last December to collaborate in developing an enhanced version of Linux for digital consumer electronics products. The two companies will develop a consumer electronics version of Linux to provide functions and performance required for digital products. The resulting source code will be made available through the general public license procedure. As a result of the joint effort, the working group is expected to adopt Linux as the operating system for its TV internet connection specification. Other manufacturers will be invited to participate. A Florida-based web hosting company knocked a small news service offline after it posted controversial photos of captured American soldiers, sparking accusations that private firms are censoring free speech. For several hours last Tuesday, www.yellowtimes.org was dark, carrying the message, "Account for domain yellowtimes.org has been suspended." Later in the day, there was sporadic access. The move is stoking fears that, as more grisly images of excess of war surface, independent news sites trying to establish a name for themselves will have to tone down their coverage so as not to alienate readers and the companies that keep their sites available. Erich Marquette, editor of Yellow Times, told Reuters that Orlando, Florida-based web hosting company Vortec had first grounded the site on Sunday night after he posted six photos of American POWs plucked from news footage first aired by Qatar-based television channel Al Jazeera. U.S. television networks had been abiding by a U.S. Pentagon request not to show the footage. To cut down on junk email, Microsoft is capping the number of emails that users of its free Hotmail service can send each day. By limiting to 100 the number of messages that can be sent in a 24-hour period, Microsoft's MSN division hope to stop people from using its service to send unsolicited messages known as spam. Microsoft said it viewed the limit as a reasonable cap that would affect less than 1% of its active subscriber base of 110 million people. The company wouldn't disclose its previous cap. The limit took effect late in March. It doesn't apply to MSN 8 subscribers or those who purchase extra storage on Hotmail. Software, music, and movies that employ copy protection schemes would have to be prominently labelled with consumer warnings if a bill introduced in Congress last week is passed. The measure, sponsored by Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, would grant the Federal Trade Commission the power to establish labelling methods for technology that limits the ability of consumers to freely copy, distribute, or back up digital content. While digital media companies are racing to develop technologies to combat piracy, some of these anti-piracy measures could have the effect of restricting lawful, legitimate consumer uses as well as unlawful copying, Wyden said in a statement. He continued, "My bill says that if digital content is released in a form that prevents or limits reasonable consumer use, consumers have a right to be told in advance." Wyden's bill would give the Federal Trade Commission a year to devise regulations that would apply to copy-protected software like Microsoft's Windows XP and Intuit's TurboTax, most DVDs, and the relatively small number of music CDs girded with anti-piracy schemes. And finally, Swedish police have detained a man suspected of writing the Gander Worm, on which we reported last week in news briefs, which played on public interest in the current Iraq conflict to spread a dangerous payload. The worm didn't spread to many computers when it appeared last week, but attracted attention because of the gimmick it used to trick readers into launching the attachment, promising pictures taken by one of the US spy satellites during one of its missions over Iraq, and other war-related files. And that's news briefs for this week.